Okay, this is an actual Bible study in the sense that it's going to go through one subject in the study of Galatians, and I'm planning on having a sit-down Bible study where I can take questions, so I hope all of you are putting your questions together. And more on that here in a bit. As we know, as I mentioned, we teach in season, and when it comes to the book of Galatians, there is quite a few references to the Spirit of God. It's mentioned 13 times. The word Spirit is a couple times that are generic, but we find that that word is mentioned 13 times in just the book of Galatians. But coming back, I want to mention beforehand that we speak in season on the holy days, and there's more than one, as all of us know. There's a seasonal period of time that God gives us, and our kids are just learning that. They're getting used to it. I hope they're learning these days in order and a little bit about what they mean. When I grew up, we only had one, I guess we could call it holy day. We basically called it communion. It wasn't holy at all. It was a period of time, maybe once a month. And there was no way that we nor anyone else can have understanding when you have just one holy day. We had a sermonette this morning of a fellow who grew up in the church, and for 10 years, when there was a breakup, for 10 years, he was saying that it's not that they didn't remember the Sabbath, and he said, in fact, they kept the Day of Atonement, and they remembered the Day of Atonement, but his understanding was going. And we realize that that can happen to all of us. It doesn't matter who we are, it just can, that the understanding goes very quickly. If we were keeping the Passover only every year, that we would lack understanding of God's plan of salvation. There would be no way that we would remember. We realize that the holy days are spiritual, they're not physical. But if we try to summarize in one sentence what God's plan is for all of us, where would we go? What scripture would we go to? You might think of a couple, there's more than one. But I go to Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 and verse 26. And here it tells us, God said, and here's the sentence, "Let us make man in our image." Now, we know referenced in James chapter 3 is Genesis 1, where God made us in his image, meaning a physical image. But we also know God had a greater purpose in mind, and that is to make us in his character image, where he wants us to be like him. And if we just kept one holy day, there'd be no way that what we keep would indicate what God wants us to become. There'd just be no way. We would just be going to Sunday services or even Sabbath services. The Sabbath itself would give us a little bit more, because the Sabbath tells us that there's a kingdom of God. Every single week we're reminded of that. In the Sabbath we can understand to a great extent that we are to become like God. But the holy days detail it out. The scripture here in Matthew 5:48 is also a scripture which tells us in one sentence what God is all about, what he wants us to do. Matthew 5 and verse 48. And I'm going to go from Genesis and Matthew to the book of Galatians to see if the book of Galatians, which references the Spirit of God, has anything to do with this calling that God has given us. Matthew 5:48. We know the Sermon on the Mount is where Jesus Christ gave his first public address. And in verse 48 it says, "Therefore," in the summation of it all, "therefore you shall become perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So God wants nothing less than perfection. Now, lest that intimidates us, brethren, God is not like some who are never satisfied with any overcoming, any growing, any doing better. God likes you to go from an F to a D. That's good. That's not bad to go from F to D. To go from a D to a C is also fine with God. Then to go from a C to a B and then a B to an A, that's what he's doing. And with me, he's taken over 50 years. And I don't even ask him where I'm at right now. I don't say, could you tell me if I'm a D or a C or what? Because I just know that I have a lot of overcoming to do. But the point in all of that is, brethren, I hope that that doesn't make us think, well, I'll never amount to anything if I have to be perfect. God works with us slowly, surely, and brings us to the point. He makes sure to test us and prove us and refine us. And he's doing that over a long period of time. So we have a very merciful God. But still, God wants perfection. He still wants perfection no matter what. And we are growing toward perfection. So we come to the book of Galatians where, as I've mentioned so many times before, theologians and commentaries who are expressing the views of those theologians tell us that Galatians is a book that has nothing to do with keeping the commandments. Some of you may remember when Mr. Franks was talking about being on a softball team when he was in high school, and he told the coach that he couldn't play. He couldn't play on Saturday because it was the Sabbath. And the coach said, you go back and read the book of, you remember? Galatians. And when you read the book of Galatians, you're going to see that the Sabbath isn't necessary to be kept. And so Mr. Frank said he went home, read the book of Galatians, came back and told his coach, I don't see anything in the book of Galatians that tells me that I shouldn't be keeping the Sabbath. And of course, he's always been a Sabbath keeper, but the world uses the book of Galatians. You know, Romans is too big, okay? You're not going to read through 14, 15, 16 chapters, whatever it is, in the book of Romans. But Galatians is only 5, and you can get through it very quickly, and you can come to the conclusion that Paul is not promoting the commandments. So we're going to take a look at the one subject. This is a study in the word spirit in the book of Galatians. The study of the word spirit as we have the Pentecost approaching. So what I'm going to do is read through it, read through just the places that talks about the Spirit of God. And as I mentioned, there are 13 places that mention God's Spirit. Now, that's not an inordinate amount. You find going to other books, whether it be Corinthians or Luke or Romans or whatever, the Spirit of God, the book of Acts, Spirit of God is mentioned over and over and over again. Because that was a major emphasis, a major difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Even though the reference is there about the Spirit of God, it was something that now human beings had access to. So we start in Galatians 3. We start in Galatians 3 to find out a few of these references. In verses 2 and 3, if you'll go there in your Bible, he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so that's in chapter 3. And that all comes from, of course, Galatians 2, where you have the subject of circumcision and individuals and works of law and individuals thinking that works of law were necessary. And as we know, there was a sacrificial system, and I can send you a paper and we can get more into that later, but there is a very good reference on that. But the point is they thought that there was something in sacrifices that would make them perfect. But what we're concentrating on here is the Spirit of God, right? That Paul is saying, by the inspiration of God, it is perfection through God's Spirit. Now, we could ask the question, and I'll throw it out early here, and we'll come back to it. Does perfection have anything to doing with anything to do with keeping the commandments? Does perfection have anything to do with keeping the commandments? I find that theologians are not very analytical. I find that they don't study the subject very well, and I find that if they can come up with an excuse with just a quick reading of something to tell you that you don't need to keep the commandments, they'll do it. They'll jump to conclusions. Okay, so in chapter 4, here's more on the Spirit of God. Because you are the sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. But as He, I should have let you know where that verse is. That's verse 6. God has sent the Spirit of His Son. And then in verse 29, you kind of have a jump to seemingly a new subject here. As He who was born according to the flesh then persecuted Him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. So you have some conflict here that He presents. Let's go to chapter 5 and verse 5. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's Galatians 5 and verse 5. And then verses 16 through 18, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do that which you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now chapter 6, there's a reference to Spirit three times, but only one is about the Holy Spirit, and that's in verse 8. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So just taking the word Spirit here and concentrating on that, does that tell us that we are to keep the commandments? You're just using that word. Now, there's other studies that we can do here. In fact, there's three other studies that if I had more time, I could go into and show you that using just three other words and analyzing them in this book, it's going to come up with the same conclusion that we find with the Spirit. But here's what we find. Now, just looking back here, we see, well, we're supposed to be perfect through the Spirit, and there's a conflict here with the Spirit and the flesh. And we're not supposed to walk according to the flesh, we're supposed to walk according to the Spirit. So there's a right and a wrong here. Does this mean salmon versus steak? Or is it good versus evil? Is this what he's talking about? Is Paul saying anything about the need to obey God's commandments here? Just by using this one word. Now, we could go forward. We could go to the book of Hebrews or the book of Jeremiah, and we could say, well, the Spirit is going to do one thing, and it's going to right the works of the flesh on our heart and minds. That was wrong, by the way, just checking to see if you're all awake here. Now, so we know the Spirit does something, and the Spirit is going to write is one word that has something to do with statutes, commandments, laws. write the law of God in our heart. Now, when you start defining words and you look at and analyze what a word means, then it's like there can't be any other conclusion than what we're going to come to today. We can't have a conclusion that leaves out the law of God, just in the study of the word Spirit. So let's go back here. He said, this only I want you to learn. Now, why is he saying this? Well, because the subject of justification comes up. And theologians are right in saying, and the church has agreed for years, that the book of Galatians is about how we are justified. And the word just means how we are made right. Now, if a person just thinks justified as some kind of ethereal word that has not much meaning at all, it's like some people say, you can't define love, okay? Love is just a feeling. And when you have that feeling, then in this society you can live with somebody, right? You just have to have that feeling, but you have to make sure that you love them first. And if you're not sure, live them with a while and then find out if you love them. Maybe 4 or 5 years or whatever the case. Well, the word justified can also just go over the heads of people. Justified means to be made right. And I've often said you can't be right unless you do right. You can't separate the two. And in fact, the book of Romans says the same thing. The doers of the law will be right. The doers of those who practice what God says is right will be right. The individuals who don't do what God says is right will be wrong. Okay? It just makes sense. And I've applied that many times. But anyway, what you have is coming out of Galatians 2 is justified. So he says, here's what I want you to learn, or haven't you learned it yet? Did you receive the Spirit by works of law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So perfection is becoming like God. We are supposed to become perfect like God. We read that in Matthew 5:48. Now, this is back, by the way, in Galatians, where we're starting verses 2 and 3. Galatians 2 and 3. I've headed back there. So if I've lost you, if you go back there, if I've lost you, everybody's supposed to say, you lost me. It's okay. But this is where we went back. We went back to the beginning, Galatians 3, verses 2 and 3. Here's what I want you to learn, coming off of chapter 2. Galatians 2, 3, verse 2. He said, having begun in the Spirit. Now, when did we begin in the Spirit? Well, we think back. I received the Spirit of God when I was baptized. That's when I began with the Spirit. I began without the Spirit when I was born. I began with the Spirit when I was baptized. And before I could be baptized, I had to repent of my sin, which is the transgression of God's law. Okay, so that's when I began with the Spirit. I just repented of sin, the breaking of God's law. Now, we began in the Spirit. Are you now made perfect? So with the Spirit, are we going to be made perfect? And the answer is, yeah, we analyze it and we say, yeah, perfection. We're going to grow to that end. And what does that mean? Well, you know, there's a scripture in Psalm 119, and I suppose we could take the time to go there. It may be Psalm 19, but I think it was Psalm 119 in the very beginning on how shall a young man change his ways. Yes, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. So how are we going to be cleaned up? How are we going to become perfected? Well, we are going to take heed to the Word of God. We're going to do something. We're going to change our ways, and we're going to follow what God tells us to do versus, in the past, not following what God told us to do. So we begin in the Spirit. to become perfect. Because he said, is there any other way? By the flesh can you become perfect? And the answer is no. Going on in verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit. Now, we are supplied with the Spirit of God because, and this is verse 5 of Galatians 3. We're supplied with the Spirit of God because he said, I'm going to give you a new covenant and I'm going to write the law of God on your heart and in your minds. That's what I'm going to do. So this is where the Apostle Paul is coming from. He supplies the Spirit. Does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And I gave a sermon on faith in and faith of, right? Do we all remember that? It's faith in and faith of, and we are actually justified by faith of, not just faith in. If we don't have the faith of Christ, then there's no way we can be made right. It's impossible. And if you want a reference, you can go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed. The very first part of Hebrews 11. By faith we obey. What do we obey? Well, God's commands. And then it goes on to say, in verse 14, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the blessing? If you just analyze, just to pick these words apart, the blessing, and most people said, just, yeah, blessing, you know, God blesses us with rain, he blesses us with food, he blesses us with. The blessing is always two things, and I'm going to be hitting on this a lot. The blessing is two things, two major things, that is departing from iniquity and inheriting the kingdom of God. Departing from iniquity and inheriting the kingdom of God. You can't have the kingdom of God inherited by any of us until we depart from iniquity. We have to be on that road. We have to be heading in that direction. If we're heading towards New York, when we're supposed to be in Los Angeles, the city of angels, then we're heading the wrong way, right? In other words, we got to turn around. We have to be heading the right direction. So that we might receive the promise, the blessing, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And we do it through faith. Now, how it comes is important, but what the Spirit does is also very important, and it has to do with keeping the commandments. Because it is a conviction. I think all of us remember where Jesus Christ said, when I die and when I return, I will return to you and I will send the Holy Spirit and it's going to convict you of whether you should have cherry cheesecake or chocolate cake. I will convict you of sin, righteousness and judgment. Sin, transgression of God's law, righteousness, the keeping of God's law and knowing when we are keeping God's law, and of judgment because Satan is out there and he's going to try to skew our judgments all the time, make us think we're righteous when we're not. Okay, let's go on then. Galatians 4 and verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Now, if we just think about that, why would God send the Spirit of his Son? Galatians 4 and verse 6. The answer is because we cannot inherit eternal life without having the Spirit of his Son. And let me say again that there's no difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. It's the same Spirit. It's just that here we have an emphasis that we must be like Christ. Now, where I grew up, we had what we call the black sheep of the family. And in my dad's family, my dad there were seven boys and three girls. So they had 10 kids. And there was a black sheep of the family, meaning nobody would claim him. Got to be a teenager, and he was sent off even back in those towns to Boys Town, I think it was called. If you have any of those around. Boys Town was a place where you go if you can't control the kid. And he could not be controlled at all. Grandma wouldn't claim him. Grandpa wouldn't claim him. This kid was not like anybody knew all the way back to Adam. as far as they were concerned, he was just bad. He was a bootlegger. As he grew up, he went into Canada and he brought whiskey across the border. We were only 20 miles from it. And it wasn't wrong, I think, at that time to bring it into the country, but he brought it in illegally. That's what he did. He also had his motorcycle, and I hear the story where he ran it through a bar and he broke as many bottles of beer and whiskey in that bar as he could and drove his motorcycle out the other side. I don't have any of his DNA, by the way, if any of you wonder. mine is Hart, Shafter, and Marks is what mine is. Actually, that's not this suit. But anyway, we call it the black sheep of the family. In other words, Dad wouldn't claim him. My brother wasn't around him. My dad wasn't around him that much. But nobody seemed to like him that much. What we want is to become likable like Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was perfect. Kept all the commandments, and he didn't transgress God's law, meaning he didn't transgress God's law. So by the mere fact we have the Spirit of his Son tells us that we have to obey the commandments of God. We must be like Christ. We must walk like he walked. So you're going through this and you're thinking, how can the book of Galatians not be talking about obedience? Okay. Crying, Abba, Father. And then you come down to verse 20, 29. As he who was born according to the flesh. Now you get into this other, the area here. As he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even it is the same way now. And it's talking about Ishmael. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a child, and they decided, well, we'll have a child this way. This must be the way God would give us a child. And it was a child of the flesh. In other words, it wasn't the child of promise in a miraculous way. It wasn't in a spiritual way, okay? It was just, they just did it on their own thinking, this is what God must want. And it wasn't. And Ishmael persecuted little Isaac. And so Sarah said, get rid of him. Get rid of Hagar and get rid of Ishmael. And of course, we know the story. But the point in all of this is, the one persecuted the other, and it's the same way today. If we don't have God's Holy Spirit, then we're going to persecute those who do. There's going to be an animosity against those who, in general, in the world, there's an animosity against those who believe in keeping God's way, and more so as time goes on. But here we find then that the works of the flesh would be, and he points these out in Galatians 5, if we're talking about he was born according to the flesh. The works of the flesh are very evident, as pointed out in the book of Galatians. And they're all against keeping God's commandments. But those, according to the Spirit, would be what? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is, it's a four-letter word, love. And love is the keeping of the commandments. Now, all you have to do is analyze what is the definition of the word. If love is just an emotional thing, then, hey, let's forget about the commandments. But if love is keeping the commandments, then we find that it has to do with the Spirit of God. Okay, we go on then and further analyze this word Spirit. Let's start in Galatians 5 and verse 5. We through the Spirit eagerly await for the hope of righteousness through faith. Now what is that telling us? There is a Galatians Bible study by Mr. Dave Johnson. And he came to this and he said that we're not waiting to be changed to spirit beings. That's not our hope of righteousness, a change to being spirit beings. Because you read this statement here and it's almost like, well, we can't be righteous till we're spirit beings. What it's saying is, we through God's Spirit, who are being righteous, through God's Spirit, we become righteous. And we find in Psalm 111, guess what? All of God's commandments are righteousness. So we through the Spirit of God are righteous, and the hope of righteousness is what? eternal life. The hope of our being righteous. Why would I bother to be righteous? Otherwise, if there's no resurrection, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. So what this is saying is not that we have to wait to be changed in spirit beings, then we'll be righteous. It's saying we are righteous now, and our hope is, because we are righteous, the resurrection. The hope is the resurrection. I say then, and then going on here in the verse 16 through 18, walk in the Spirit. Okay, Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ, we walk in the Spirit, we walk as Christ walked. That's keeping the commandments. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which is just the opposite, just contrary to the commandments of God. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And we covered that in the sermon itself. And they're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish if you're not close to God. Just you by yourself. We by ourselves cannot do the things that we wish. They're contrary to one another. And then notice, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Again, Galatians 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, which is keeping the commandments. And then, of course, we have the definition or the traits of love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. And if we don't have peace, we're demonic, right? That's what God says. And then in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, we have to walk in the Spirit. And that's walking, of course, by God's law. Now, you come to chapter 6. He who sows, verse 8, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Remember the question by the young lawyer or the young man? And he said, if you will enter into life, then you can try keeping the commandments sometimes. And the answer was, no, it's if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. So if you take and use the Bible to clarify what is being said here concerning the Spirit of God, it always comes back to commandment keeping. Now, what is it, how is it that we can keep the commandments? Well, we have the promise of the Spirit through faith. If we go back up to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, it's always the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we might say today, and I've thought of this when it comes to today, how they were thinking of sacrifices, works of the flesh. We know the law is spiritual. And those of us who try to do right by taking, let's say, a piece of paper or a sticky note we have these days, put it on the refrigerator, and it says, be kind today. Okay, so every time we go to the refrigerator, be kind. Did you know that actually that's a work of the flesh? Now, there's one disclaimer on that, and that is it can be part of the mirror that we look into because we know the Bible is a mirror and we are looking at it. And we're basically asking ourselves, does this fit? So I can put, you know, the Ten Commandments on the refrigerator. That's not wrong. It really isn't. It's a mirror, and I can say, am I living up to this? But you know, it's not going to help us to be living according to those commandments. It's just a mirror. It's a reminder of where we're at. The only way that we can actually live according to the law of God is to have something written in our heart. It has to be internal and not external. If we look for anything external to help us obey God's law, is not going to happen. And I already said, you know, what the Bible is for, and we have to read the Bible, and it's a conviction there. In fact, Jesus Christ said in John, I believe, 6:65, my words are spirit and they are life. But we can also be depending on the works of flesh. We can think, well, yeah, if I do this, and I do this, and I have this, and if I if I, you know, just put something around my finger here, and when I meet Lucy, anybody's name Lucy here? I'll use another name. When I meet Lucy, whom I don't like, I'll remember here, bear with Lucy. Okay. That's something external, you know, and that'll only last so long. How about count to 10? 1, 2, 3, then blow up. Okay. These are external things, and God says the only way that we can really obey God's commandments is to have the Spirit of God through faith in Christ and the faith of Christ in us. Otherwise, we're back to the Judaizers, and we're going to fail just like them, right? There's nothing external that is going to do the job. I know people have said, I walked through a house one time, it was a parade of homes. It wasn't recent, it was about 20 years ago, and this one woman said, it wasn't my wife, by the way, if I had this house, I would never complain again. That's external. Totally external. Now, she may have been kidding, but I think halfway it was like, I would be so content with everything. So, the book of Galatians is about keeping the commandments. It's about doing it from the power of God's Spirit in us, but it's still about keeping and doing the commandments. When you take just that one word and analyze it, you can see God's Spirit certainly writes the law of God in our hearts and minds, and we are to obey the commandments.